kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Kasama natin ngayong umaga ang Filipino Aboriginal musician, hip-hop rapper, drummer at composer na si Ryan Clapham o mas kilala sa tawag na Dobby.
Welcome to SBS Filipino, Ryan, or Dobby.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
No, it's so good. Yeah.
Yep. So I know you are proud of your and your parents' roots being Filipino and Aboriginal, but Dobby, can you share to our listeners which side of the family is Filipino and from which nation your dad's family is from?
That's right. So my mom is from Tacloban. She arrived in Australia in 1985. And, you know, our family was here in Australia from then on. And my father is Murawari. So his mother, my grandmother, was born and raised in a place called Brewarrina, northwest New South Wales. And her father was born under the birthing tree on the Kolgoa River, 1 hour north of Brewarrina, in a place called Wilmeringal. That's Murawari country.
Yes, I'm really bad at saying this beautiful nations, but
they understand that you're from Brewarrina.
And that's one of the places that you are touring at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And so a lot of my family, you know, are from there, and I still have family who still live in Brewarrina. I, you know, was born in Wollongong, but I've always, growing up, felt this strong connection to this place. And so I'm really lucky and to be able to come back there and tour my new work there.
Yes, and I can say that you are the first Filipino Aboriginal musician, in particular that I have known and interviewed, and really are very keen in showing and letting the people that you meet that you are Aboriginal and you came from this nation and you are really sharing that culture.
Yes, that's right. And there's also so much for me to learn as well. So this is a great way for me to feel, you know, to be reconnected and to learn my language. And, you know, so it's a beautiful thing to be able to engage hip hop in this way.
Yes, definitely. And it is music, culture, and stories in between, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It's all interconnected.
Yeah. I think it was in 2018 or 2019 that you released your music project, Riva.
Yeah, that's it. So I started performing this music in 2019. But since then, and also throughout COVID, I've been finalizing and perfecting this project that I've been working on for about 4 years now. And it's called Warangu River Story. And Warangu is Nyamba language for river. It means any river, water source, any creek, just the river. And this story that I've made is an 8-track album about the rivers that run through Brewarrina, which is the Barwon River, the Colgo River, and then the Bergen River that goes down south. And the cultural significance of these different rivers, you know, there's so much cultural history, the stories, the language, and the significance of these rivers that kind of make up the boundaries of, you know, our different territories, whether it be Nyamba country or Murawari country, Wailwan, Kamilaroi, Barkindji. So there's so much to know and to learn there. And then on top of that, I'm talking about the over irrigation, you know, how we've been misusing these river systems. If you've looked at, you know, the cotton industry and almond plantations and just over irrigation in general, that has kind of led to the massive destruction of the Murray-Darling Basin, which led to like 1 million fish that died in Menindee and so on and so forth. So it's all about that as well. Yeah,
it's very beautiful because we know that the nations are interconnected through the rivers and the waters around the land, isn't it? But you're also using your music, hip hop, and your rapping to really tell the stories behind or beyond the rivers and all the lands.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so, you know, especially because hip hop music is a really powerful way to reach not just the youth, but, you know, everyone, but definitely like young people really relate to it. And I find that a beautiful way of connecting and spreading these messages, you know?
Yes, definitely. And it is truly relevant, particularly this week, because it's, as you know, it's National Reconciliation Week. And I was just wondering if you would be able to share with us what's your take on in terms of the reconciliation of the wider Australians and the different cultures in Australia as with the Aboriginal people or the First Nations of this country.
Yeah, so I've been thinking a lot about Reconciliation Week as we have started moving towards that date. And, you know, I think we've been, you know, every year we talk about Reconciliation Week as something that to look forward to. But really, realistically, we've been talking about Reconciliation Week for years and years and years. I mean, in 2000, we had 250,000 people walk along the Sydney Harbour Bridge in light of reconciliation, in favor of reconciliation. And so this isn't a new idea. And I feel like that's really expressed in this year's theme, which is something to do with action, isn't it? It's the theme is more than a word. Yeah. Reconciliation takes action.
Correct. Yes.
And so I think that's what this year is about. You know, they've put on the website about 20 sort of tips for people to sort of take on. And the first one is move from ally to accomplice. The second is call out racism. The third is, you know, understand our history. So these things, you know, they kind of go without saying, but they really spell it out, you know, the ways that we can all reconcile our past dark histories that have caused so much injustice and trauma to Indigenous peoples so that we can have our own control of our narrative and work towards, you know, reparations and, you know, taking back actual native title and everything towards that. So I think that's what this year's reconciliation should be all about and is all about, is really stepping up to the table.
Yes, yes. And as you have said, that it should be an action and it's more than just words, as the theme says, isn't it? And as you know, the Aboriginal elders has been working on this and really calling on to the government to really take action and for the ultimate reconciliation to push through. But as a young generation of Aboriginal people yourself, what do you think can you do in terms of using your music to really bridge and take action for the reconciliation to truly happen?
Well, I think that's where, again, the power of music and in my case, hip hop in particular, can really help towards that, because, you know, it is a really great platform that's not just music. It can be so much more than that. It can be education. It could be political. You know, it can call for policy changes. There's a great video that's just come out like today, which is by an amazing rapper by the name of Ziggy Ramo, where he remixed Paul Kelly's From Little Things, Big Things Grow to talk about the history of this country from colonialism onwards. And so, you know, hip hop is something, you know, it really can be that bridging step for people to go, oh, I need to speak up and say something, or I need to advocate for Indigenous issues next time I'm at the table, whether it be as a, you know, as an employee from a random company, all the way to CEO, all the way to someone in government in Canberra. You know, we need those people to step up to the table and make changes. We need those people to think about why we keep mining our country and draining the waters and taking away our First Nations rights to land, waterways, and clean air. So it all comes back to the conversation, and music is just another way of bringing us back to that conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And through music, you have that platform to really tell your people's story, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, that's right. I think people connect to stories more than anything. And if it means that people can really connect to, say, my story, and then in order for that, you know, for them to listen to that, they can be more compassionate about Indigenous people's issues as a whole, then that's the best thing. That's the best outcome.
With your album, Project Riva, it's one of those songs or albums that really you have make use of to really call for the issues that really affected the Aboriginal people. So is there any other projects that are centered or focused to bring out the issues that are affecting the Aboriginal people?
Yes, definitely. I would go back to also saying Ziggy Ramo's album that came out last year. It's called Black Thoughts. That's a fantastic sort of all-encompassing album that really speaks to, you know, Indigenous plight and struggles since colonialism and throughout colonial times, post-colonial world. That's definitely one. And then also another amazing rapper by the name of Barker. She's a proud Barkindji Malyangapa woman based in West Sydney. And her music that's just come out and the music that will be coming out soon in the form of an EP is really powerful. And her story, I think, is another story that people can really sit down and listen to in order to understand, you know, what type of struggles people are dealing with and how systemic racism and disproportionate power injustice has resulted in just a life living against the system. So yeah. There's so much to listen to. I could recommend so many people to listen to. And it's not just hip hop as well. It spans across classical music like Deborah Cheatham and William Barton, and it goes into jazz like Arnie Mylene Cummins, as well as country and folk, and into theater, you know, Aboriginal art forms. They all tell stories.
Yeah, I love how you really tell about other musicians' albums and music and not just promoting your music.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, I am another piece in the puzzle. And I think you could look at any of us to get a glimpse and a perspective. And we all have really unique perspectives and lived experiences, you know, of Aboriginality. It's a very nuanced thing. You know, my experience is very different from a lot of other Aboriginal people, but yet it is still an Aboriginal lived experience as well as a Filipino lived experience, you know?
Yeah. And before we move forward to your music and what you are doing and your upcoming tours, lastly, for the Reconciliation Week, what's your call for action for the government as well as for the Aboriginal leaders?
I would say, you know, it's really, really time to listen to more than just your token Aboriginal voices. If you want to learn from Aboriginal people, you need to take a holistic approach. And that's what I would say. It takes a lot of dedication, time, and compassion to sit down and learn and listen from not just one Indigenous political leader, not just two, but all of us. And that requires research. It requires time. And yes, it may be hard to get all voices, but it's doable. And it's if anything, it's necessary in order for us to receive and reach true reconciliation. Tokenism is a very dangerous game. The conversation needs to be all of us.
Yes, it's time to really come together, isn't it?
That's right.
And now, can we move to your music? Because I know you've been very busy despite the pandemic. Like, the pandemic did not stop you from your music and touring around the country.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Was it last year that you did the digital season for the Sydney Opera House? Can we just talk about that for a bit?
Oh, for sure. That was one of the best things I've done so far. It was just amazing and such an incredible and surreal experience. You know, I was one of the people who were lucky enough to perform to a very empty Joan Sutherland Theatre at the Sydney Opera House. And it was incredible and quite daunting as well, because there was no one in the seats, obviously, because of COVID.
Yeah.
But I got to do an entire 45-minute set.
So you did really go to the Joan Sutherland Theatre and perform there.
Yeah. And hopefully I get to go there again with people next time.
Yeah, that would be amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yes. And what were the songs that you played for the digital season?
So I did a lot of new music, a lot of music that I've been working on for the past few years, from two particular projects, one of which is this project I'm going to put out this year called Waranga River Story, about the rivers. But there's another project that I'm working on called Marshmallow. And this is more of a 14, 15 track album that I'm working on and have been working on for a number of years. And that's another thing that I'm really excited about. You know, it's a big project. It's a time travel story. It's based on the Stanford Marshmallow experiment. And so that is something, you know, that people can look out for in the future.
Dobby, we've been talking about this for a while now. Use your music to take pride of your culture, of your roots, and also to give power to people and to really protest about issues that really concerns and you are really into.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I find it's important for us to be able to, especially after last year, to really take a look at music and what it can do and what it means for people. You know, we want stories, we want change. We all have that thing inside us that wants change. And I feel like music is the thing that for a lot of us helps us to, it's the catalyst, you know, for us to be nicer, to be kinder, to think deeper and to challenge everything around us.
Yeah. And I have mentioned earlier that you've been touring. You've done a few tours already early this quarter, but there's more coming up. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, so we've just come off of the second leg of our Warangu River Story tour. We started off in Walgett into Collarana Brae, Lightning Ridge, Gaduga, and then into Brewarrina, where my family are from. And we have just come off the tour from Bathurst, Lithgow, and Wellington. And now we're going to set sail very soon for Wilmeringle, which is just north of Bree. And then further up, you know, into other places like Dubbo and Orange and Wagga Wagga and Menindee, Wilcannia, you know, up in Brisbane as well. So there's a lot of places that, especially because of COVID, you know, it's another reason why, you know, it's a great time for us to tour regionally and to go into, you know, smaller communities to be able to bring music to them.
Yes. I understand because we can't really be all together in one place at a time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And so I think it's a good time as ever to see more of this country. You know, more and more people are, you know, we all want to travel, and now's the best time to go to Alice Springs. I just came from Alice Springs as well and Broome. Doing a few things there, and we performed for Parchima Festival, where I also made the music for the light installations there. So it's a great time to be able to work around the country and a great time to be touring around the country.
You've been overseas before, also touring worldwide, isn't it? You've been to the UK, in Germany as well. But is there any plan to go overseas amidst the pandemic?
I think we are hoping for New Zealand. That looks like the most logical next step if the bubble, you know, if things...
If they don't pop the bubbles.
Exactly. If we don't pop the bubble, then hopefully New Zealand could be an area we could travel to. And that would be amazing. I've never been able to play in New Zealand before. So let's, you know, fingers crossed.
Okay. So aside from the touring, is there any other shows or new album coming out that you would like to share to our listeners?
Yes, well, keep your eyes peeled because we are planning a Sydney show as well for Warangu River Story. We are traveling all of these places, but we also want to be able to bring everything we've learned and everything we've, you know, all the research we've gathered and all the conversations back to Sydney as well to premiere Warangu River Story, where we'll also be, you know, releasing the music. So it's a big project, and we're excited to bring it back to Gadigal land in Sydney as well.
Yes, and you're not by yourself. You've also been touring with some of your musical friends. And
that's
can
right,
we just mention, you've also been with a Filipino-Australian, Christelle Jolla, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, who is the best person ever. She's one of my favorite humans on this earth. Christelle Diola is a multi-talented instrumentalist who plays everything under the sun.
Yeah.
So she's just, you know, absolutely just a constant inspiration to me. And yeah, so we've been on tour, being the DJ, as well as Lolita Emmanuel, an amazing Armenian Assyrian pianist, incredibly talented musician, Kelsey Iris, who is an amazing Yualarai Murawari singer-songwriter, and a skilled guitarist, skilled singer. Her family's from Lightning Ridge as well, so we're connected there. And of course, you know, my manager Vivian Abler. So as well as Luke Curry Richardson, who is another multi-talented storyteller. We've got him on as the photographer and the beatboxer. So it's been so much fun.
With so much going on with you and your touring and your music, where can our listeners follow Dobby?
Yes, you can find me if you type in anywhere, Dobby Au for Australia. You can find me on Instagram, Spotify, Facebook, iTunes, YouTube, anything and everything.
Definitely. And lastly, Dobby, message to our Filipino listeners as well as to our Australian listeners.
Yes, thank you, you know, for tuning in and for listening. And, you know, it's important that we keep being able to stay connected, even if we are apart, and music is the best way to do it. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dobby, and have a good tour. Enjoy every gig and show.
Thank you so much. It's so great to talk to you and hope you're doing well.
Yes, thank you so much, Dobby. All the best.
All right, you too. Take care.
Nice yung makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.